Okay, so the question for Dr. Chetna Kripalu today is regarding mental energy. One of the points that we have been exploring is inner power and, of course, how energy is used in meditation. And there is a notion of using energy in a mindful way. So there's the mindful direction of one's mental energy. You know, so there's cognitive energy, there's mental power. Of course, there's physical power, emotional power. So what is your understanding of what this means, that having a mindful direction? Because our thoughts go in so many different directions. Our desires go in different directions. What does this expression mean to you? And then in the context of meditation and health, however you want to answer that, there's a question of mindfulness in general, but then there's a mindful direction to place the mind in a specific direction using the energy we have. So what are your thoughts about that?
So the whole idea is when you meditate, disintegration or scattered energies go into integration or come in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a sense of peace, calmness, everything, and you feel a little more steady. That means mentally.
All right, so there is the recognition of the scattering, which so we can recognize that before doing the meditation, would you
mm-hmm.
say?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so how does one go about recognizing the scattering even before doing it, like a pre-meditation? You know, what does one do before meditation?
So you can start breathing, number one. Not concentrate, but just kind of observing your own normal breath, not even taking a deep breath, just taking, just observing that. And as you observe, you can observe your thoughts too. So, mm-hmm. And then just with the intention of just observing, say, take a minute and say, okay, I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm overwhelmed. Let me take a step back and see where it takes me or what it does to me, just kind of observing your thoughts. So when you do these two together, you see a sense of, integration coming on or sense of balance coming on, a peace coming on. And that's usually because of the energies being integrated. And when I say that, because for every thought, it carries energy. So if it's negative, it's depletion. And if it's positive, it's more of energizing, like togetherness, together of the energies happens. So that's the good thing. So that's why when you're all over the place, it means that you are depleted because you're in energy debt, because it's literally scattered all over and you have nothing left because it carried away with them. You gave it to people too, when you're it upsets you when somebody does something and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's you recognize that in the beginning of the meditation, and then once you are able to focus more on your breath, take deep breaths, shift your focus from your mind to your heart space or any part of the body or whichever technique you want to use. I mean, I just mentioned a simple technique. Then you start slowly, getting into that space. Even then you may get thoughts and everything, but if you learn to just literally kind of observe them, they actually stop. That's just the way it is. You know, we've done these experiments numerous times in different classes, and they always say, I had no thoughts. I actually had this color or just a blank or, things like that. So, and that's where we want to be. But it doesn't happen right away for some people. It'll start with a stream of thoughts. So that's what we're trying to do with. So with meditation, if you integrate your energies, you have more calmness and serenity. And from that space now, if you have something you have to do after that period of meditation, whether it's studying, whether it's working on a project or writing a book or working on the computers, wherever, you have now the power to mindfully direct your energy or use your mind as an instrument to actually work for you. And that's what we want to do with meditation. It's possible because we're trying to we want to be in charge and use the mind as our instrument rather than the mind taking, the power away from us and taking us wherever it does, from, as we've discussed before, about the thought loop and etc.
Yeah, yeah.
So which is when you cannot accomplish anything. So
there's really three stages to this in a general sense. There's like a pre-meditation stage to be just aware of where one is, and then of course doing the breathing techniques to eventually come to that neutral space using heart math or however it's done, alternate nostril breathing, whatever it may be. And once there is integration, from the scattering to integration or scattering to coherence, and once the meditation is quote done, then there's activity performed that is done in a very mindful way. So that activity is essentially the mindful direction of one's mental and physical and emotional energy, where one is in charge of that, right? That's what you're saying.
Exactly. So that gives us more power, and the performance improves too. Because
hold on 1 second. You said when it gives us more power, what do you mean by that?
Because before, remember, when you were
scattered,
you felt that you were helpless. You had no control over anything because all these thoughts took away your power, took away your energy. You felt depleted. And then you cannot hold on to every thought because that's not going to happen.
No.
If you have 100 thoughts, you are tired after a while. You just, I don't have the energy to do that anymore.
So
you don't feel that anymore once you meditate.
So part really, even listening to these recordings is for those who are listening, including me, to recognize the drainage of energy that thought creates. That may be itself a type of meditation, just to kind of reflect upon how much drainage. Could you say something about that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it's all observation. Everything in our lives, if we learn, and including myself, learn to pay attention or observe what you're doing and what's happening inside of you, it is very useful because then you recognize it. The problem is most of the time we're outside of us and we are not paying attention to how the thoughts come in, where do they come from, how do they happen, not even where and how, more than where, how it affects us, how it carries us from one thought to the other and the other and the other. And before we know it, each thought drains away energy because it's a negative loop.
It's a negative loop, and that's like this energy vampire idea.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's more, if you look at your life in general, we used to talk about time management. I don't think it's time management at all. In fact, time takes care of itself. It is more energy management every instant. So if you, and what I mean by that is if you pay attention, or if we paid attention to every thought which came through, and whether negative or positive, those negative thoughts make you feel a certain way, and positive thoughts make you feel a certain way. So if we become more aware of these thoughts, then we can do something about it, and we can stop the energy drainage or the depletion.
Yeah.
So then if you conserve energy, like we said, then you can focus your mind to do what you wanted to do, and you conserve energy and the time care itself. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. So let's say you meditated and you are in a good space. That means you're integrated. You're not overwhelmed. You're not scattered.
Right.
And then you you spend 20 minutes on a topic. Let's say it's a student who has to concentrate on calculus. So what happens then is, firstly, you are directing all your energy in one direction, which is the calculus. So what happens is focused concentration or focused attention makes your absorption the intellectual analysis, whatever you're using, whatever all these things you're using, faculties you're using, it will make it work so deeper and in a shorter amount of time. If we've looked at ourselves, it actually feels like the time expands. Because you get your work done in a smaller amount of time.
Yes, we say that, like the perception of time changes considerably. Like there's an expression, time flies when you're having fun. And then sometimes 5 minutes can seem like a very long time if you're bored, right?
Exactly. So especially in this situation when you're really focused, you're going to see that you can actually accomplish so much in a smaller period of time.
Yeah.
So you have more time to accomplish more tasks when you're focused. You know, people talk about multitasking. That is a myth.
Yeah, right.
There is nothing called multitasking. In fact, the way the brain functions is it can only focus on one thing. So it is really not something we can do, you know, multiple things. So...
Okay, so you talk about that multitasking is a myth. That may sound like a little difficult thing to understand because, you know, I'll just give you an example. When you open up a computer, people are sitting at work or wherever. We open up like four or five windows, you know, plus somebody's watching a video, doing something else. So there seems to be a sense of being able to handle a lot of different tasks. You know, but what you're saying is you really can't handle multiple tasks at one time. You can only do one thing at a time. So how does one make that shift when there's like a long laundry list of things to do in any given day? You know, how does one get out of that that worry about everything that has to be done and really just stay on task, essentially? This is important even for kids with ADHD and ODD and all those kinds of disorders also. It's like a more general question.
So the whole thing about this is, since we know now that the brain cannot process, you know, two things at the same time, it just, even though we have this sense psychologically that we are taking care of multiple things, but we are actually doing one at a time, but it's so quick that you feel like you are able to do everything in together, like at the same time. So that is not possible, you know, you see. And people, even that shift which we do from one to the other, we're doing it very stressfully because you're not really doing a calm state.
Exactly.
So it drains energy. So after a while, you're not able to do what you used to do, because I have people telling me, my patients, saying that I used to do this very, you know, these things like switch and on and off and do that, but I cannot do anymore, because that's the reason. You can still do things one at a time and even in a shorter period of time.
Right.
But the fact is, how are you inside? That's the key.
Ah.
So when you are not stable, so there is a very famous quote, calmly active and actively calm.
Yes.
So this is what we want the state to be. So it's not like you cannot, just because you're calm and meditating and you're balanced inside doesn't mean you can't do things very quickly.
All right, so I have a question. So let's say, just use the computer example. You know, let's say there's three or four windows open, three or four tasks going on. Someone's working at a desk. There's a phone there also. And boss is in the other room. You know, something like that. So obviously, attention is kept on like a global picture of what's going on. But a decision has to be made. What do I do now? Then what do I do next? So how can a person perform one activity that they have decided? It kind of goes back to decision-making process. That, you know, yeah, okay, a decision is made to do this activity, to do that activity and keep the attention there, which is kind of what I was asking you about regarding the mindful direction of mental energy, and keep it there until that task is done correctly, properly, without scattering, without jumping into something else. Can you talk about that and also how the meditation techniques assist with this kind of enhanced state? So
yeah, so that's what happens when you meditate in the mornings, of course, and that, you know, before going to bed, you do want to incorporate these tools during the day also to sustain it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So the internal state has to be such that it's, you know, really calming and peaceful.
Yeah.
So you can use these, you know, you can use the strategy how you can actually direct your or focus your mind for one thing at a time, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Even if they have 10 things to do, you can only do one at a time. The first thing is to, you know, conceive that fact or bring it into, you know, or perceive it that you can only do one at a time.
Right.
I think that's one
thing. To really believe that, to really accept. I mean, so if I have a to-do list of like 15 items for a particular day, just seeing that list can cause distress, which is what happens. Like, oh my God, I got all this stuff to do, right?
That's usually the problem because you're in the future. You're not in the present.
Yeah.
So you make a list of all the things you have to do, even in your computers. I don't even think one should keep all the 100 windows open. Right. Seriously. Because it is overwhelming. Right. You're human beings. It does happen.
Yeah.
So we do have to focus. If something needs all our attention, you do have to do that one. The only reason to do that is your work actually gets done faster. Then you can move on to the next one very quickly, immediately. Because it's like one, then the next. And the next. So directed energy, very, and you conserve that energy. So what happens otherwise is if you're thinking of all the list in the morning about 20 things to do, you're already starting in a very stressful state and a scattered place.
And for many people, it really begins with just checking a whole lot of emails. There might be like 20, 30, 40. I mean, someone told me recently who I was talking to, that person said she has over 120 emails in the morning waiting for her when she goes to work. I mean, that itself is so overwhelming.
Correct. So that's what they do. A lot of people's jobs, if you look at top level executives like CEOs and whatever, general managers and everyone, they don't really do the other jobs. They're really looking and coordinating things. So they have to look at this email. So the thing is not to look at the 140 and get overwhelmed, because then your mind is not in this one email, but it is in all the other emails expecting, this is going on and that. So you're not able to focus. Firstly, you're scattered. You're not able to perform well in whatever, or make decisions, or making good decisions. So you have to just come back to that. Now, I'll tell you another example. Because I'm a physician, my day starts like, I have the days when I work, it's very long. So what I have done is, I don't sometimes look at my list, but I do look at the list just to see, who the people, just to kind of have an idea in the morning. We start doing huddles and, where we can kind of expect certain things from certain patients, just to have it more organized. But what I have started doing, this happened a year ago, because otherwise it's, oh my God, I'm going to come back at 8:00. I'm going to be completely exhausted. This used to be how I used to think, and I used to be exhausted at the end of the day. But now it doesn't really happen. I'm more energized at the end of the day.
Even though you're working so much, but there's a lot of energy even left over.
Exactly.
And sometimes even more energy is there even than maybe what you started with.
Absolutely. So why does that happen? Firstly, it's because of my meditation, in the morning, I start and set an intention for the day that may I do the best I can for each person who I see. And so what I do is, when you go into the patient's room in that amount of time, I don't look at the next person's, appointment, whatever it is. You look and address and connect with that person and just be in that space. Mm-hmm. And you will, believe it or not, I have seen sometimes when I had gotten kind of, a little bit perturbed by the fact that I only have 15 minutes with this patient. Oh, my God, this patient has so many complaints. But I don't think like that anymore. And what happens is the things we need to address at that moment of time, it actually, if you look at the clock, it doesn't take more than 15, 20 minutes. And that's all that person needs at that point. Yes, he may have all these issues, but that's not what I'm addressing at that point.
No.
So it really matters how much you connect and how quickly you can get things done in a short amount of time. What you also do in this manner is when you connect with the patient knows. So the time actually expands at that time. The person doesn't get then in a perception that you only have this much time, or you only spend. Nobody's looking at the clock.
No.
All they want you to be, they want to be satisfied at the end of the visit. So
yes, it's the quality of the interaction.
So what happens then is a lot of times you and the other thing which what I wanted to say actually was, the person who's in front of you can tell with your body language that whether you're in a rush or not. So that is important. That is more important
non-verbal
than the time. Even.
Non-verbal communication.
Yes, because even if you give them half an hour and you're antsy and you're looking for the door, reaching out, they don't care. You spend half hour. They said, this person has no interest in me.
Yeah.
So this is why these are all important, to be in that moment and in that space for whatever amount of time it takes. And believe it or not, it actually takes shorter amount of time.
Yeah, so you're giving an example from your own life. And I think anybody listening to these recordings would really appreciate that, because you are not simply teaching these ideas in an abstract way. You are applying them in your own life. you know, you're actually living this and you're experiencing the power of what you're teaching.
Absolutely. I always, most of the teachings I do, I always apply it in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say 90% of it. There may be a little bit of things which I suggest.
Okay, so Dr. Chetna Kripalu, this is very good because, you know, you are really emphasizing the importance of staying in the present, performing one activity at a time, being mindful, of course, of what's going on. You know, it's not like a hyper concentration, but it's a type of liberated action. I'd like to use that expression. Maybe you can say something more about that.
Yeah, it is actually very liberating because what you know is you firstly feel calm when you're performing your activity,
yeah.
And you know you're going to get to the next activity mm-hmm. once you're done with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you focus and when you have one focused activity, direct or mindful directed activity,
yes.
Then you feel like you can accomplish that task well also. So there's a sense of accomplishment there,
yes.
A sense of fulfillment, which is very important because when you go on to the next task,
yes.
It's repeated because, you know, you feel that, okay, I did this task well, and then I'm going to do this, I did this well. So this is what happens during my day. So you know you did the best you could with every patient. And of course, there are things in between, yeah, messages and all that, but you set time for that. You don't look at, again, for example, some people are on their phones all the time,
yeah.
And they keep texting and back and forth. So that's very, very intrusive for your mind. So
yes.
You need to keep certain parts of the day where you're going to check, return the call and forget about it,
mm-hmm.
because then otherwise you will not be able to perform other activity.
Yeah.
And same thing with emails. Nowadays they have this automated response on the emails where it says, I checked my inbox at this time and this time,
yeah.
So please leave a message. I will get back to you at that time or whatever. I'll get back to you when I can. Because you have to, because otherwise the technology is very overwhelming. There is
yeah.
So many things. Then there is the Facebook. Then there is the Snapchat. There is then Messenger, Instagram, whatever. It's just a lot of stuff. And it does bother you because it may be a simple message, but it brings back memories. Then you know it connects to another thought or maybe 100 other thoughts and things like that. So we have to find
yes.
ways of even dealing with that. Even these things with technology, you have to say, I am not going to look at it after a certain time, at night time. And you make everybody known around you that you don't check your messages after this time. Unless it's an emergency, then reach out to me. And people know that it's your time with the family, your time or your me time or whatever you call it. You have to do that because these are the things which are overwhelming on a
sure.
regular basis.
Sure.
And when you put everything together, it is a huge burden on your energy level. So at the end, you're spent at the end of the day. And
really?
We don't want to function. How can you function? Even though you sleep, a lot of times people can't sleep well. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the subconscious mind is completely full of all these thoughts and, you know, and you have no energy. So it's kind of wired and tired. So they can't sleep when they're doing, when
right.
in that state. And you deplete your adrenal glands so much that then there comes a point, then you just cannot get up from the bed. And that is genuine. And then we call it as chronic fatigue or whatever. Then we don't know the cause because there's
right.
nothing will show up in the body at that
sure.
time to say that this is what caused it. But this was the loop which was created
mm-hmm.
and you know, got yourself into that situation.
Yes.
So we have to find ways. And meditation is a huge tool. And the tools to be used, like heart focus, quick coherence, or anything, breathing, a simple breathing technique through the day, because that will give you intervals and reminders of, hey, wait a minute, you didn't focus on your work. Let's start doing that. So
mm-hmm.
it's a habit built. I think this is so important for us, for our life, because this is not about your job. It
right.
is not about the material gains which you accumulate. It is how you live your life.
Yes.
So your life, when you see it's not okay, there's something wrong,
right.
you have to really go inwards
right.
and see, what am I doing wrong?
Sure.
How can I make it better? And where can I do that?
You know, I remember something that Vinny said during one of his presentations. He said to squeeze out the maximum amount of glory or greatness or, you know, the happiness and health out of each moment of life. And he and you both, I believe that you try to live that way.
Absolutely. We try our best to live that. Nobody's 100% successful. But even if you have that at your back of your mind, you use it because...
And
you know,
believe that, that can happen.
That is the way only because there is no other reality. If you really look at it, you and me are sitting having this conversation. This is the only reality.
Yes.
We are comfortable. We are grateful. We are so appreciative of having, you know, everything what's possible at this moment.
Even that the fact that the body is functioning relatively normally, that's a big blessing in itself.
Everything is a blessing. It's just the way you look at it.
Yes.
So if you just stay with it at this moment, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're just, you know, golden. But then what happens is your mind wanders off into the future or some memory in the past. Something reminds you of the past. And there goes your thought loop. So then the body in the present condition is going through this this rigmarole, and it's just not feeling good after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important.
So, okay, so to kind of wrap up, you know, and I think I wanted to just say this also as part of these recordings. I think there's four stages to anyone listening to these recordings. One is just to listen to the recording. Because there's so much depth in what you're talking about. It requires reflection, personal reflection. It requires connecting with other ideas that people already know or other teachers that they may be listening to. You know, so listening is one step, one level. But there's three more levels. Maybe you can elaborate on these. And they are, the second level is to remember again and again. You know, and then the third level is to remember it in such a way that it becomes part of one's reality. It becomes real to the individual, not because Dr. Chetna Kripalu is saying it or somebody else is saying it. It becomes one's own reality, you know, which is the state of realization of what is being talked about. Meaning what? We want to go from what you're saying, you're giving some ideas and some very wonderful interconnected truths, in my mind at least, that these are just universal things that are, you know, universal truths. You're giving them verbally, but then to move into the actual realization, that journey from the verbal to the actual, for those who are listening, maybe you could say something about that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question is, you can listen to as many talks and, you know, all that you want, and it's good. At least you're doing that.
Yeah.
But the next step, if you really want it to matter and apply it in your life, you really, like you said, the second step is to listen it to again and again to kind of make it as a memory, meaning in your, to remember it.
Right.
So, and the third step is introspection, as how can you apply this in your life? How can you make it practical at every moment? And as you do that, that introspection can occur with meditation, which is again, you know, definitely possible. And when you do these three steps, as you do more and more and you apply it finally, and meditate on it, then you see the changes. There is no way you're not going to see changes in yourself. You're going to see how you start feeling in the beginning and then how you start feeling in the end, and how much calmer your life is. Because again, life means because of your internal environment. Life is chaotic for everybody in some form or the other. It's never the outside world changes constantly. In fact, I was telling somebody, it's really ironical when you say that. The only constant thing is change.
Yes.
So there's nothing which does not change.
Right. Even the Greek pre-Socratic philosopher Heraclitus, he stated that nobody can step in the same river twice. Very famous statement, which most people have heard. So.
Absolutely. So the only constant thing is the change, is change in your life. If you look at it, we change, environment changes, everything keeps changing. So why are we resisting change? Because we don't understand how to work with it. We have to be excited about the change. We have to be not in fear of the unknown. It's basically embrace the future, saying that it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be the best ever. It's going to be even better than today. So that faith and belief has to be carried out. The problem is, again, we're stepping into a different topic. Maybe we can continue into another one.
Yeah.
But the thing is how we depend on others, how we depend on the media, how we depend on what you hear, which brings on all these things and doesn't allow you to believe that there is something great in the future, there is something fabulous in the future.
So let me just have one follow-up question here, and then we'll end this particular recording. You know, you talked about change right now, and we all kind of intellectually at least know that things are changing all the time. But you also talked about coherence, the inner crystallization or coherence. In my mind, the word crystallization has a certain kind of, you know, meaning. Are you saying that it is possible to be internally very stable and harmonious and steady and interconnected and coherent and, you know, to be so built up from inside, like building your mental muscle or something like that? You know, there's a lot of inner coherence amidst the constant change that is happening all around us. Even the body is changing. You know, so could you maybe wrap up this our dialogue today about the relationship between these two, between this internal crystallization, internal harmony, whatever language you'd like to use for that, and the reality of change?
That's the thing. So when you realize that there is constant change, you can't control it. That's the problem. We do try to control it, and that's why we feel like we are helpless. And that's the feeling you get internally. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it as saying...
Hold on one second. Let's just go into that a little bit just for more clarification. You talked about control, right? We're trying to control what is not controllable. That's the point you're making. And then there's a sense of helplessness. Could you elaborate on just these two points a little bit more?
Absolutely. Because everything is changing and you don't know what's going to happen, even though you plan everything, it turns out the way it does.
Yeah.
You feel like you have no control of the future, but that is the truth. But the point here is what feeling comes from not having control is the helplessness. So that's the internal feeling you get because of the external circumstance. But okay. That mm-hmm. is what we want to change in this meditation mm-hmm. and, you know, how you introspect about certain things and everything. When you change your internal environment is when you're powerful. That's all the power you have. So the more and more, the whole idea in this, you know, the meditation course or whatever, using the meditation as a tool and the other tools yes. to strengthen your internal environment, saying that for everything which happens around, I have a solution. That means I am in charge of anything which happens outside, a thought stimulus which comes, and how do I modify it so that it actually helps me face it, whatever happens there. So if you kind of get to that state of coherence we talked about all the time, using your heart math and using all these tools, then you get the sense of calmness anyway. So what are you afraid of? What are you not in control of? You don't have to be in control. Now you're embracing the fact that I'm going to wait what's actually in store for me? What is the magical thing which is in store for me? What is the mystery in store for me that I have to, uncover? You know, it's like what present is in store for me? What treasure is in store for me? Instead of saying, what is lurking around which is going to hurt me? Or something else is going to come in really harm and, you know, kind of make my whole life, you know, shatter my whole life. So that's the part we want to create. So we change the perception. Mm-hmm. The perception change is going to bring, it's going to bring about such a change that it will, you know, really completely renew the way of looking at life
yes.
and then change your trajectory mm-hmm. in life completely. Mm-hmm. So if you know mm-hmm. you have to go from point A to point B, and let's say you know what's the broad view of, you know, I'm born, I'm going to die. So I have control of how I want to be the driver and how I am going to feel the whole journey.
Yes.
Now, whatever happens, thing can happen, this person can come in, that can happen. But if I feel that I can control my inner environment, I'm going to ride this whole journey in peace, in calmness, in energy inside, energized, saying that I actually did this, accomplishment and fulfillment. All these come, but if you think everything else is out to get you and it's all somebody's trying to punish you right. for everything, then it's a miserable life. So you're going to be suffering the whole time till you get to the point B when we die.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we have, but that's enough. That's all there is. There is nothing else if you really look at it. That's why you have some people who are so happy-go-lucky no matter what happens around you. And then there's some people who have very little happening to them and they're a complete mess. And they're completely anxious and they can have everything in the world, but they're not, you know, happy. Mm-hmm. So this is the difference, and this is what we want to kind of explain and have people realize more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, that's it, really.
Very good. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Chetna Kripal.